right, I've been told it's more than past time to start. Are you ready to start? Yes. All right, well, if you are a guest with us this morning, thank you so much for choosing to be with us today. We hope and pray that our service will be a blessing to you. When you came in as a guest, you should have received a welcome packet. Inside that welcome packet is a little card. If you'll just take a moment and fill that out and drop it in the offering plate, or just leave it out at the information table on your way out, that would be very, very helpful. And hopefully when you received your welcome packet, you also received a bulletin, and all the rest of you should have received a bulletin. So take it out and let's kind of look at some of the things that are going on this morning. Right after our morning worship service, we are going to have a church family meeting. This is a very important meeting because we are going to be bringing to your attention and for your affirmation two deacons as well as an elder. So we are in the process of wanting to expand our leadership team. I will explain more of the process of how we've been led as elders, Robert and I, to bring this decision before you. I'm not going to take the time to be able to do that today. So that's why it's important for you to be able to stay. So we're going to ask you for your affirmation for these new leaders for Lake Hazel Bible Church. So it's important for you to stay. After the congregational meeting, we will have Sunday school. Again, we have Sunday school from children all the way up through adults. Tuesday night, men, 7 o'clock right here at church. We have men's Bible study, and this is open to all of the men. So if you are a guest and you have time available Sunday or Tuesday evening to be able to come and join us, we'd love to have you do that. Wednesday is our Joy Bible study here at church, and it's at 1 p.m. We're continuing on in our study of the book of Romans. Thursday night is Awana, and it is Solid Rock Night. That's a great night, isn't it? On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is?
Sinking sand.
Oh, you're all so good. That is really great. And then Saturday, no fooling, men. Men's breakfast. Okay? Saturday is April Fool's Day, but this isn't an April Fool's joke. So William and Brian are going to be fixing breakfast for us. So that'll be a great time. And that's here at the church as well. Ladies, you've got a coffee connection coming up. On Easter Sunday, we are preparing for our annual Sunday Easter breakfast. There's a sign-up sheet out on the information table. Crepes and the fruit topping for the crepes is going to be provided. So that'll be great. But we want you to bring some other things to help us go with the crepes. And so make sure that you stop by and sign up. As you can see, we're going to be celebrating communion this morning. So that means that we're also going to be receiving at our offering time an offering for the Benevolent Fund. And this is over and above your regular giving. Also out there on the information table are some Easter Reflections booklets that come from Our Daily Bread. And they're out there for you to be able to take and enjoy, or to be able to take and pass those around to people that you may know need them. Yesterday, a prayer request for Paul Henning went down the prayer chain. I don't know if you received that or not, but Paul fell last week, and he apparently broke some ribs and apparently cracked a vertebrae in his back. Has been in a lot of pain this whole week. So they took him to the ER, and then they determined what was wrong, and then they took him to St. Al's, and he is supposed to have an MRI done, I think, this morning yet. To be able to see what all is going on. He may have to meet with a neurosurgeon as well. So currently, he is in St. Al's. So I know that he and Amy both would appreciate your prayers. So just keep them in your prayers, and I know that you will. All right, are you glad you're here this morning? Well, three of you are. Yeah. Are you glad you're here this morning? That's better. All right, worship team, let's make us glad to be in the house of the Lord.
Oh, yeah. Would y'all stand up with me this morning if you're able? We're going to sing about our awesome God.
Remember those walls that we called sin and shame. They were like prisons that we couldn't escape. But he came, and he died, and he rose. Those walls are rubble now. Remember those giants we called death and grave. They were like mountains that stood in our way. But he came and he died and he rose. Those giants are dead now. This is our God, this is who he is, he loves us. This is our God, this is what he does, he saves us. He bore the cross, beat the grave, let heaven and earth proclaim. This is our God, King Jesus. Remember that fear that took our breath away. Faith so weak that we could barely pray. But he heard every word, every whisper. Now those altars in the wilderness tell the story of his faithfulness. Never once did he fail, and he never will. Oh, this is our God, this is who he is, he loves us. And this is our God, this is what he does, he saves us. He bore the cross, beat the grave, let heaven and earth proclaim. This is our God, King Jesus, who pulled me out of that pit. He did, he did. Who paid for all of our sin? Nobody but Jesus, who rescued me from that grave. Yahweh, Yahweh, who gets the glory and praise? Nobody but Jesus, who rescued me from that grave. Yahweh, Yahweh, who gets the glory and praise? Nobody but him. This is our God, this is who he is, he loves us. And this is our God, this is what he does, he saves us. He bore the cross, beat the grave, let heaven and earth proclaim. This is our God, King Jesus. Bore the cross, beat the grave, let heaven and earth proclaim. This is our God, King Jesus.
Give the Lord a round of applause this morning. Our King Jesus, yes, he is good, amen? And his mercy endures forever. Whenever you fight a battle, remember that the Lord goes before you.
When all I see is the battle, you see my victory. When all I see is the mountain, you see a mountain moved. And as I walk through the shadow, your love surrounds me. There's nothing to fear now, for I am safe with you. So when I'll fight on my knees, with my hands lifted high. Oh God, the battle belongs to you, and every fear I lay at your feet. I'll sing through the night. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. And if you are for me, who can be against me? For Jesus, there's nothing impossible for you. When all I see are the ashes, you see the beauty. When all I see is a cross, God, you see the empty tomb. So when I fight, I'll fight on my knees, with my hands lifted high. Oh God, the battle belongs to you, and every fear I lay at your feet. I'll sing through the night. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. Almighty fortress, you go before us. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine in the shadows, you win every battle. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. Oh, Almighty Fortress, you go before us. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine in the shadows, you win every battle. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. So when I fight, I'll fight on my knees with my hands lifted high. Oh God, the battle belongs to you, and every fear I lay at your feet. I'll sing through the night. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. Oh God, the battle belongs to you.
Amen. Would you please be seated as we continue this morning and pray with me. Father, thank you. Thank you so much for giving us hope and assurance so that we can sing things like the battle belongs to you, that it's not us who has to go out there and win this world. It's not us who has to go out there and conquer everything, but instead you already have. Lord, help us to trust in you. Help us to rest in you. Lord, you are the one that we are here for today, and we've come to worship you.
Worship the King, all glorious above. Oh, gratefully sing his wonderful love. Our shield and defender, the Ancient of Days, pavilioned in splendor and girded with praise. Oh, tell of his might, oh, sing of his grace, whose robe is the light and canopy space. His chariots of wrath, the deep thunder clouds form, and dark is his path on the wings of the storm. You alone are the matchless King. To you alone be all majesty. Your glories and wonders what tongue can recite? You breathe in the air, you shine in the light. Oh, measureless might, ineffable love, while angels delight to worship above. Thy mercies, how tender, how firm to the end, our maker, defender, redeemer, and friend. For you alone are the matchless King. To you alone be all majesty. Your glories and wonders what tongue can recite? You breathe in the air, you shine in the light. You alone, for you alone are the matchless King. You alone be all majesty. Your glories and wonders what tongue can recite? You breathe in the air, you shine in the light. You shine in the light. You shine in the light. gave your life in place of mine and called me your own. You brought me to life. Now my life's not my life, it belongs to you. I belong to you. You alone, you are worthy of all my praise. You alone, you're the one I live for. You alone, you are worthy of all my praise. You alone, you're the one I live for. Left on my own, I'd never know the beauty at hand or see the story unfold. How you brought us to life, now your life is our life. We are one in you, we belong to you. You alone, you are worthy of all my praise. You alone, you're the one I live for. You alone, you are worthy of all my praise. You alone, you're the one I live for.
Lord, we worship you today. Help us not to miss this moment to worship you alone.
I am not my own, I'm yours alone. I am not my own, I am not my own, I'm yours alone. I am not my own.
Thank you for binding me with your blood, Jesus.
I am not my own, I'm yours alone. I am not my own. Yeah, I am not my own, I'm yours alone. I'm yours alone. Yeah, you alone, you are worthy of all my praise. You alone, you're the one I live for. You alone, you are worthy of all my praise. You alone, you're the one I live for. Yeah, the one I live for. You're the one I live for. You're the one I live for.
Lord, we are here for you today. There's no one else worthy of worship in this place but you alone. Lord, we are here to worship you, our great and mighty King. We are here to give you praise for who you are and for what you've done. You're amazing, and we love you. We lift you up now. In the name of Jesus, amen. So we prepare to take this morning's offering. We're going to praise God more because he's worth it. Amen. He is worth it. I hope you don't miss this short time we have every week to worship. It's so good to be in the house of the Lord and to praise him together.
You saved my life from death. I was all but defeated. You spoke your promises and brought life to my weakness. Came as a conquering king and you warred for my freedom. My soul can't help but sing. Alleluia. You opened up my eyes. For the first time I saw you. Your love commanding life and deserving devotion. You told me who I am. Now in faith I believe it. My soul can't help but sing hallelujah. Ooh. You made a place for me, silenced all my accusers, leading me forth with peace, filled with joy I will follow. Your cross demands my life, now your grace is my anthem. My soul can't help but sing hallelujah. Yeah. Hallelujah. We're redeemed and made free by the blood of the Lamb. We have won. Hallelujah. We will sing victory. Jesus conquered the grave. God be praised. Hallelujah. We're redeemed and made free by the blood of the Lamb. We have won. Hallelujah. We will sing victory. Jesus conquered the grave. God be praised.
Children, come on down. We'll get you ready for children's church. Good morning. Father, just a few moments ago, we sang, I belong to you. That's quite a statement. That's quite a declaration on our part. Father, I pray that those weren't merely weird words that we sang because the worship team was leading us to sing them. But Father, that truly reflects where we are today. That truly reflects our heart. That really reflects our being. That we belong to you. Oh, Father, it's easy for us to say we belong to you as we're singing collectively as a church family. It's another thing for us to leave this place in just a little while and to live what we believe. To live what we sang, that we truly do belong to you. Father, I pray that that declaration will ring true as we listen to your word being given to us this morning. Father, may our hearts be open to what you have in store for us. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Go on, have a good time. While they're being dismissed, turn in your Bibles, if you will, to Acts chapter 2, continuing on in our study of the book of Acts. And we've been talking a lot about the early church, and in order to really capture the essence of what was going on in the early church, I think it begs us to be able to spend just a few moments contrasting the early church with the current church. And when we really see the current church for what it is, and then we see the early church for what it was, we're going to see that there is a vast difference. So let me just share with you the condition of the current church. The religious landscape of the United States continues to change at a rapid pace. We all understand that, right? We see that happening before our very eyes. 65% of American adults describe themselves as Christians, but when asked about their religion, it was down 12 percentage points over the past decade. Meanwhile, the religiously unaffiliated share of the population, consisting of people who describe their religious identity as atheist, agnostic, or nothing in particular, now stands at 26%, up from 17% in 2009. So these statistics reminded me that the impact of the church is not as strong as it once was. The impact of the current church is not as strong as it once was. So therefore, how do we make an impact in the world in which God has placed us? Well, the early church gives us the answer to that. So it's not difficult for us to recognize that our nation is growing more distant from the gospel message, more distant from God and His Word, and wrapping up its resistance to biblical truth. Just watch the television. Just go to a movie today. This has been taking place for some time, but this distance is growing more and more and more as the years move on. Because the transforming power of the gospel message of Jesus remains as true as ever, our responsibility, regardless of the survey data, is to teach and preach and to stay involved in God's mission of telling others about who God is and what He has done. That's just not for us as a church. That is for those of us as individuals who also make up the church. Now, the condition of the early church is incredible when you really look at it and when you hold it in comparison to the church of today. Now, the success of the early church was certainly not predictable. These early believers could have accommodated to the culture to win recognition and approval, which would have undermined the uniqueness of their belief system and their way of life. Or these new believers could have isolated themselves from the culture to hide and survive, which would have kept them on the margins, safe to be sure, but also irrelevant. Instead, these believers engaged the culture without excessive compromise and remained separate from the culture without excessive isolation. These believers in the early church figured out how to be both faithful and winsome. I think there's a lesson in that for us today. And today, nothing short of a change of the culture of the current church will suffice. From a culture of entertainment, politics, personality, and program to a culture of discipleship. That's been our focus as we've been studying these early chapters in the book of Acts. Our focus has been on discipleship. And this needed change will happen with patience, steadiness, and purposefulness. It doesn't take you very long once you become an attender of Lake Hazel Bible Church, once you become a part of the church family of Lake Hazel Bible Church, to figure out that we're not about entertainment or politics or personality or programs. We use programs to make disciples. We use programs to be able to teach God's word so that disciples in this place can be made. And we're not alone. And the narrative of the early church reminds us of this. Faithful disciples, faithful believers have gone before us, bearing witness to the truth of God's word, the power of the gospel, and the important calling of discipleship. Moving across the centuries, they tell us that it is still possible, as it was then, to live as dedicated disciples of Jesus in a culture that does not approve of it or reward it. We talked about that last week, didn't we? Being dedicated disciples, no matter what the culture is doing, no matter what the world thinks of us, we need to be dedicated disciples of Jesus. 2,000 years ago, Jesus, his incarnation, his life, his death, his resurrection, and his ascension set in motion a mission that turned the world upside down. And I believe it can still happen today. The question is, do you believe it? Do you believe it enough to be able to make it happen today? Because as we talked about last week, and as we talked about for a couple of these sermons, you have an opportunity to be able to affect a sphere of influence that I don't have that same opportunity to affect. To tell them about what Jesus has done. To tell them about who God is. To tell them about what God has done. To tell them about what God means to you. You have a circle of influence that I don't have. You have an opportunity to be able to help those who come to know Jesus as Savior to be dedicated disciples in an arena that I don't have an opportunity to be in. It can still happen yet today. Are you willing? Are you willing? Are you willing? In our study of the book of Acts, we've been learning that these dedicated disciples of Jesus in the early church were involved in God's mission while living in a messed up world. I have people tell me all the time, Pastor, I want to talk to my neighbors. Pastor, I want to share with my classmates. I want to share with my coworkers. But this world is so messed up. It's not an excuse, folks. The early church, they did it. They were involved in God's mission in a messed up world. And we're going to see that as we get into some of these later chapters in the book of Acts. It's no excuse. They couldn't use it as an excuse. Neither can you. Neither can I. Last Sunday morning, we discovered the depth of our dedication as disciples of Jesus determines our awe and our impact. These early church believers, these early church difference makers made an impact because they were committed to preaching, partnering, partaking, and praying. And today, we're going to see how this early church interacted with each other and how the way they interacted with each other hasn't changed in the way that God desires for us as a church family to interact one with another. Hopefully by now you found Acts chapter 2. Follow along as I read verses 44 through 47. And all who believed were together. I love that. All who believed were what? Were what? Together. They weren't divided. There was a unity. There was a commonality. There were relationships. They were together. And had all things in common. I love that. All things in common. Now, as we talked about, I'll say it now, but I may say it again. So forgive me if I say it more than once, but I think it's important. When it talks about they had all things in common, a lot of preachers, a lot of Bible teachers center their thoughts on the fact that it comes down to all their possessions. If you just stop with all things in common with possessions, you're shorting what God's word is telling us here. They had all things in common, meaning they had the same purpose, not just possessions. They had the same mission, not just the same stuff. Okay? All right? You got that? That is so important for us to understand. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with gladness and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. So let's look at the attitudes of the early church. The first attitude was they gathered together. So you know what? Let's gather together. It says in verse 44, and all who believed were what? Separated? No, they were where? Together. Whenever the church family had an opportunity to be together, they were there. And you've heard me say it before, we have things going on here at Lake Hazel Bible Church, not just because we want to fill up a calendar. It's because we want to be together. We want you to be together with us, and we want to be together with you. That's what it's all about, togetherness, right? All who believed were what? Together. All were together because every believer knew they belonged with every believer. Let me say that again. They knew they belonged with every believer. They knew they belonged with every believer. So when the believers gathered, guess where they were? At the gathering. Because they belonged with every other believer. Now the phrase, "were together," is in the imperfect tense, meaning they made it a practice of gathering together frequently. You know what this tells me? They weren't easily distracted from this. They didn't let TV programs. They didn't let nice weather. They didn't let snow up in the mountains. They didn't let things distract them from what? Being together with the other believers, because they knew they belonged with every believer. Wow. Have you ever been tempted to neglect gathering together with God's people? You can be honest. Why is that? Well, let me give you, I think, two important answers. The first answer is this: you forget what you bring. It's easy to neglect being together, gathering together with God's people, when you forget what it is that you bring to the gathering. You and I have the responsibility to encourage one another to greater love and service for God. Truth is, we cannot do these things if we're not together. Get it? Get it? If we're here gathering together and you ain't here gathering together, you can't encourage me and I can't encourage you. It doesn't work. Because why? One of us is not where we're supposed to be. You have a gift to bring. Remember, we've talked about this. Every believer has been given a spiritual gift. Let me say that again. Every believer has been given what? A spiritual gift. Some of us have been given the spiritual gift of encouraging other believers. If you're not where the believers are gathered, you're not using the gift that God has given you. And the church is only complete when you bring it and you use it. Let me give you a second answer. The second answer why sometimes it becomes easy to neglect the gathering together of our church family is you forget what you need. Not only do you forget what you bring, you forget what you need. Just as you are given a spiritual gift to help others, so others are gifted to encourage you. You are incomplete without your church family because God has designed you to thrive and survive in community within where? A church family. You see, we're not supposed to be in spiritual isolation or to be a castaway on a spiritual island of our own making. We are to what? Gather together. So let's be like the early church and let's take every opportunity given to us to what? Gather together. Next, let's grow together. This was one of the attitudes. This is one of the actions of the early church. They were growing together. In verse 46, we see that these early believers were committed to spiritual growth by gathering in both large groups, and in smaller settings, and in both formal and informal gatherings. Day by day, attending the temple together. That's a formal gathering. And breaking bread in their where? You can read it. In their where? Homes. That's an informal gathering. And notice this wasn't once in a while, but it was day by day. It's the idea of doing it over and over again. The word attending here is interesting. It means to stay close, to remain, to continue steadfastly. If you're not attending, you can't be staying close to these other believers. If you're not attending, you can't be remaining alongside those of your church family. As we learned last week in the early church, having a meal together was a sign of spiritual friendship and love. Not only were they about growing together, they were about giving together. What an example that is of us. Let's give together. Notice what it says in verses 44 and 45. And had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. Now, as we've already talked about, this phrase, all things in common, means more than just their possessions. But it also is in the imperfect tense, meaning they kept on doing it. To have in common is related to the word that we looked at last week, koinonia, which in the Greek means what? Fellowship. So this tells us this was not a me church, but a we church. They all had the same Jesus-given purpose in common: be involved in his mission to share the gospel message with everyone they could. Those with property and possessions saw people in need. Out of their love for God, they liquidated what they had available in order to give to meet those needs. And look at the results of this attitude in action. It's recorded for us in verses 34 and 35. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as were owners of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold and laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. Now we need to remember something. There were thousands of new believers from other countries in Jerusalem for Pentecost who were in need of shelter and supplies. Some of these sojourners may have been in Jerusalem since Passover 50 days earlier, extending their stay in order to be discipled in how to be involved in God's mission. And these early believers were ready to serve God in his mission with their talents, with their time, with their available possessions. Now, some look at this, and I've heard this said, they look at this and they think that it is evidence of communism or socialism. But did you notice what sets this apart from communism and socialism? This is a voluntary response. A voluntary response to the leading of God's Spirit as they made themselves available for what? God's mission. The early church experienced organic oneness, not organized oneness. They were not mandated by a government to be able to do this. They were not governed by a manifest to do this. They were being led by the Holy Spirit of God to do this, to give of their time, to give of their talent, to give of their treasure that they had available. Now, this mutual caring and commitment to one another was a spontaneous expression of how God's Spirit was leading them. In fact, they didn't sell everything that they had, because verse 46 tells us they still owned their homes. They dedicated themselves to the breaking of bread and the gathering together. Where? In the temple. And where else? In their homes. Not only was this voluntary, but it was also temporary, because after Acts 5, there is no further mention of this practice. To put it simply, because they were committed to each other, they contributed to one another. The joyful generosity of the early church is a great example for us to follow today. These brand new believers in Jesus as Savior held lightly to their property and possessions. They were quick to liquidate what they had available when God's Spirit led them to do so. Not only did they give together, not only did they gather together, not only did they grow together, but they also went together. And so let's go together. That's point number four if you're taking notes. Let's go together. When these first followers lived out their faith and shared it with others, God did some amazing things. Did you see what it said in verse 47? And having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. And the word favor here means grace, gratitude, and pleasure. Note that all the people found these in the early church to be favorable. All the people. Not just the people in the early church, but the people even outside the early church found favor with these early believers, found favor with those who were part of the early church. The phrase having favor is in the present tense, meaning these followers were looked upon favorably, at least in the beginning. And it doesn't take long for this to change, because persecution of these early believers is right around the corner. Now, while there will always be some who don't like believers or the church, it's important to build bridges and to do all that we can to find favor with people. Even in a culture filled with unkindness and conflict, we should strive to be discerning disciples. Colossians chapter 4, verses 5 and 6 says, walk in wisdom toward outsiders. This is directed to who? Believers. Walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. You know, as I read the book of Acts, I'm amazed by the fact that God has always used ordinary people doing ordinary things. These believers in the early church were not any different than you and I as believers today. Do you got that? I hope you get that. They're not any different. The same Holy Spirit that led them, the same Holy Spirit that directed them, the same Jesus that gave them a mission applies to us today. That same Spirit still leads us. That same Spirit still guides us. That same Spirit still speaks to us from God's Word. And Jesus' mission hasn't changed. To what? Tell those that we have opportunity to about what he's done for them as he went to the cross to be the Savior of the world. You see, when ordinary believers are obedient to his word, God does amazing things. What was going on here in the early church for at least this period of time? They found favor with those even outside the church. You know, as pastor at Lake Hazel Bible Church, I want that for us as a church. I want us to be able to be well known in our community. I want us to be able to find favor with those who are outside of us, so that maybe God, with the leading of his Holy Spirit, somehow would bring them to us, that they might be able to, if they don't know Jesus as Savior, come to know Jesus as Savior, come to believe in him as Savior, and then we can begin to help them become the dedicated disciples that we know that God desires for them to be. So this morning, I'm going to add one more to this. One more just for us here at Lake Hazel Bible Church. Just for us this morning. Let's celebrate together. You see, verse 42 says, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And when we talked about verse 42 a couple weeks ago, we talked about the fact that we know that the breaking of bread is a reference to the early church celebrating communion together. Let's celebrate together. And as we celebrate communion, let's remember that communion reminds us of our common union in Jesus. In order to celebrate together in communion with us this morning, you don't have to be a regular attender of Lake Hazel Bible Church. You just have to be a believer in Jesus as Savior. And communion is open for you to be able to join together with this church family to what? Celebrate what Jesus has done for us on the cross. We do communion because Jesus instructed it, because it pictures the truth of the gospel, and because it maintains unity in the church family. So let's celebrate communion together this morning. What do you say? Are you ready? I hope so. I'm going to ask the men to come and to join me at the table.
Pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our sins. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. He was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our sins. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds, we are healed. We are healed by your sacrifice in the life that by your grace we are saved. We are saved. He was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our sins. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds we are healed. By his wounds we are healed.
Let's remember Jesus.
I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned, unclean. For me was in the garden, he prayed not my will but thine. He had no tears for his own griefs, but sweat drops of blood for mine. He took my sins and my sorrows, he made them his very own. He bore the burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me.
Let's remember Jesus.
Would you all stand with me for this final verse? When with the ransomed in glory, his face I at last shall see, 'twill be my joy through the ages to sing of his love for me. Sing it, how marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. Marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. How marvelous, oh, how marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. Is my Savior's love for me.
Amen. We'll see you in the church family meeting in just a few minutes.